On Tuesday, our guest on Focus was University of Illinois Chancellor Phyllis Wise. Today, we continue our look at higher education, moving on to community colleges. Our guests are President Tom Ramage of Parkland College and Alice Jacobs, president of Danville Area Community College. Theirs are the schools many young people go to before heading on to a four-year college. They're also places to get training in skills needed to go directly into the job market, a route more people have taken since the recent recession. Community colleges must meet the increased demand while facing their own funding challenges. Our two guests will talk about how they're doing that today on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Our program continues after the news. And welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. On Tuesday on this program, we talked about the challenges of offering a four-year college education with University of Illinois Chancellor Phyllis Wise. But today we're looking at community colleges, lower-cost, two-year institutions that have gained more attention as jobs and income became scarce during the recent recession. Wherever you live in Illinois, you are in a community college district. And today we have the presidents of two area community colleges with us. Tom Ramage heads up Parkland College in Champaign. That's Community College District 505. And Mary Jacobs is president of Danville Area Community College, and that's in District 507. We were talking about exactly where the boundaries are. They do go out, I guess, in the case of Parkland, parts of 12 counties. But that does cover a lot of territory. And for Danville area, it's Vermilion County, but also some other surrounding areas in, what was it, Edgar County and what else?
And Iroquois County.
Well, anyway, Mary Jacobs and Tom Ramage, thank you very much for coming on and welcome to Focus.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
I'm wondering about, I was mentioning, you know, the impact of the recession a few years ago, and I certainly saw a lot of news coverage, we did some of it, about a lot more people enrolling in community college, maybe in part of only to work on something because they were not having success finding jobs, they may have lost a job. They may be retraining for a new job or going into some sort of new field. I'm wondering what you saw, what that experience was like here in your colleges.
I could just tell you, at Danville Area Community College, we experienced a 30% increase in enrollment.
30%.
So
you had before, like, about how many students?
And that was in credit hours. Last 4 years, we've served around 9,000 students. But it was a 30% increase in credit hours. It was so unexpected. We were not expecting it. I was very proud of all the faculty and staff at DACC because we didn't turn any students away. We added sections. Faculty took extra students, put additional seats in their classes. It was really everybody pulling together to make sure that all of those students were served.
Tom, what sort of increase did you see at Parkland?
We saw similar enrollment growth. Probably 2009, I think, was our biggest year. But it was if you chart out Parkland College's enrollment from 1967, our first year through this current year, you see sort of a steady, slow growth over 46 years. But you have these punctuated areas that correspond with either a recession or an economic boon, and it's inversely related to our enrollment. So when things are bad, our enrollment goes way up, and we saw probably 20-25% enrollment growth over those four recent bad years. More recently, though, things appear to be getting a little bit better. Our enrollment is trailing off a bit. We're losing 5-6% per semester from the year before. Not so good for Parkland College, but great for the community because that means more people are finding jobs, more people are working, and are not thinking about education as their number one goal.
Have you seen that sort of drop off in Danville as well in enrollment?
Definitely. That was just, we could not have maintained the level in terms of consistently serving that number of students. Our faculty and staff wouldn't have been able to keep up with that level of enrollment, I don't believe. But yes, it has declined. But fortunately, this fall, we're seeing it. It's about steady with what the numbers we were seeing last fall.
Just a note here, if you have something to say about community colleges, if you have a question or perhaps some experience to relate. Maybe you're a student or a graduate of a community college. How did you use the instruction? What did it do for you? Give us a call about it at 1-800-222-9455. That's toll-free, 1-800-222-WILL. Our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And we welcome your questions on Facebook and Twitter at Focus580. I'm wondering, to the degree that you've been able to analyze the figures here, when you had that surge of enrollments and surge of credit hours, was it coming in any particular places? Were you seeing people taking on new degree targets? Are people going into very specific job training as compared to, say, you know, just 2 years here because perhaps they could not afford doing so at a four-year school?
For us, it was just across the board. We had just as many students in the occupational programs. The increase was there, as well as students who were seeking transfer.
And yeah. Parkland?
In not large numbers, but our enrollment management team looked at, saw increases in older adults coming back for retraining, particularly around areas that had some financial assistance from like a WIA program or something along those lines that helped them with their tuition or retraining. Or if they lost their job due to the recession, there were federal funds available. So we saw a little bit of an uptick there. But also in recent high school graduates, we had been averaging about a third of recent high school graduates choosing Parkland as soon as they finished their high school careers. And that ticked up a bit. Interestingly enough, the top 10% of the high school graduating classes chose to use a tuition waiver afforded by our trustees in greater numbers than they had in the past. Now that, again, since things have gotten a little bit better economically, has evened out a little bit more back to numbers that we saw prior to the recession.
Is there any profile of, because I've read some, you know, commentators on a national level suggesting that the surge of students may not have been as academically prepared as the regular flow of students coming into community college. Was there any difference along those terms?
I don't think significant. It's always been a challenge for community colleges, I think, across the nation. I think Alice Murray would probably agree with me that our open door, open access mission means exactly that. A student who has a high school diploma is welcomed at our community colleges, not necessarily into college-level courses. They may end up placing into a developmental or a pre-college course. And that number is probably surprising to most folks, that somewhere between 60 and 70% of recent high school graduates need at least one developmental course. I would imagine things are the same in Vermilion County.
And that's true. Certainly our developmental mission is an important aspect of the college. But I would just like to mention about your asking, were the students less prepared? Really, we saw just the opposite, because these were adults, many of them who had been laid off and were very serious about their education. So they were striving. They were very serious students. I had one faculty member say to me that for the first time she looked out at her students and she really saw fear in their eyes, because they knew how important it was for them.
Now, did you say that you had offered a tuition waiver during that period?
Actually, we've always had certain sorts of scholarships, if you will. Certainly in athletics, that's fairly typical. A student comes in on a scholarship for athletics. But our trustees made the decision probably early 90s to mid-90s that any student from any of the 29 high schools within our district that graduated in the top 10% of their class was offered a scholarship at Parkland. 2 years, tuition fees waived. We also have the same thing for selected programs. For example, art and theater and music all have scholarships that are dedicated to students who want to study in that field.
Okay. And you said that more students during that period were using it.
Clearly.
I don't know if Danville has a similar program.
We don't have a similar program, but we have a very generous community. And in the last 2 years, the number of scholarships that are awarded by our foundation has more than doubled. In fact, in 2000, we were awarding 75 scholarships. This year, we awarded over 400 scholarships.
How did this surge affect you financially? Of course, if a lot of those folks, some of them were using scholarships or waivers, but a lot of those folks were paying tuition, and that's more revenue coming in, but of course, more work for the college to do. Which way did it balance out during that surge?
Well, we have we're blessed to be in a community that has a very highly educated populace. So our ability to pull in part-time faculty members that are highly qualified is a blessing. And certainly when you see the sort of enrollment growth we saw 2009 era, that does bring in an extra tuition bump. Unfortunately, the state side of that has been less consistent. If you were to chart our revenue from the state over the last 10 years, it's declined significantly. It's now only about 11% of our total revenue. So we're relying more and more and more on tuition. And, of course, the other part of our funding formula is property taxes. Those are about the same, relatively static. So, yes, our reliance on tuition has grown. And when enrollment grows, our revenue grows, generally proportionally. But today, when we're seeing a little bit trail off, you need to adjust.
Okay. Have you had to make, well, for instance, have you had to raise tuition rates over the past few years? By how much?
Definitely. Tuition has increased substantially at Danville Area Community College over the last several years. For example, this year we had an $8 increase, a $10 increase.
Yeah. And Parkland's done the same thing?
Well, we've early on, our trustees made the decision to minimize the impact of tuition increases as much as they could possibly do that. So for the last, let's say, two decades, they've adopted a policy of incremental changes each year. So for a long time, it was $2 per credit hour increase per year. And the philosophy behind that is that a parent who had a child in, say, eighth grade could very easily calculate what tuition would be at Parkland College by the time their son or daughter was ready to attend. That $2 increase per annum has grown to $5, maybe for the last 10 or so years. And we would very much like to keep that same sort of progression, that $5 or 5% increase per year going. It remains to be seen whether we'll be able to do that.
What have you been doing with your district's tax rate? Mm-hmm. And, of course, I am gathering that your slice of people's property tax bills is not the biggest one.
Oh, very, very small. Our rate is 51 cents and a few hundredths there. That tax rate has been the same for the last, I've been president for 6 years. It's been relatively the same. The only change to that was when we started our master planning project, where we reduced some levies in like our protection health safety to offset the increase that our district residents saw from building bonds. And it went up slightly, but we're pretty even for the last 6 years.
And Danville Area Community College has maintained approximately the same tax rate for the last almost 15 years. In fact, it's gone down slightly from what it was 15 years ago.
Meanwhile, the state of Illinois' funding has been where in the past few years?
Well, I can tell you that probably 20 years ago, the state of Illinois provided 40% of the revenue for Danville Area Community College, and today it's about 25%. Parkland's percentage is even less.
Yeah, we're down to 11.
11%. That's 11%. All from the state. Well, is that because of there are so many different things you do, maybe above and beyond the minimum?
Well, the formula in Illinois for how colleges are reimbursed is different based on the demographics of the college. So the valuation, the equalized assessed valuation of the district has something to do with it. There's a rurality index that works in terms of what is the word? Not apportionment, but the equalization dollars. That's the word I'm looking for. So depending on the value of the district, the state tries to spread out the revenue across the state using a formula that isn't tied directly to the size of the college.
As you do your long-term planning now, what are your expectations as to what the state will be providing, say, 5 or 10 years from now? The state's current fiscal crisis, we hope, will not last forever, but we don't know exactly what things will be like after that. So how do you plan?
Well, it's difficult. Fortunately, we do have tuition. I think it's a blessing that our tuition rate currently, in comparison with other higher education sectors, is very low. So we do have that. The other thing that we're And I'm sure that all community colleges are putting in place systems so that more private dollars can be raised. Danville Area Community College just finished a three-year campaign and raised $10 million. It's the first time we've ever done that. But we know that higher education is important to the people of our district, and so we are turning to them to provide resources, as well as students and their families will have to pay more of the percentage.
Parkland College, does it do that sort of outside private fundraising as well?
Oh, certainly. Yes, our foundation is almost as old as the college. And actually, we have a new foundation director just this year. Our longtime director, Carl Meyer, has retired as of last June. And we're sort of refocusing the foundation's efforts on to areas that we haven't typically looked at. Believe it or not, alumni relations weren't at the top of our foundation's list before. I think that's changing. I think we're going to assume that there will be a steady decline going forward in terms of the state funding. So as Alice mentioned, you have to fill that with something. Minimize your expenses. Look at your tuition and look at that private support, whether it's federal grants, state grants, or your foundation.
Foundations really seem to be relatively new. On the other hand, a lot of schools are depending on them. Is this, you know, are you really competing for dollars out there?
Oh, certainly, certainly. This is this community is very, very proud of its higher education history. Fortunately for the University of Illinois, that's the biggest piece of the planned giving is attracted by the university. Athletics is also big, but Parkland does have a niche. We have a fine group of donors that have supported us for many years. Most recently, the Parkhill family has donated $500,000 to support our brand new Applied Technology Center, now named for them. So we have very, very good friends in our district that help us out when we need it.
We are talking about community colleges here on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and my guests are Tom Ramage, he's the president of Parkland College in Champaign, and Alice Jacobs, the president of Danville Area Community College. Your calls and comments are welcome at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-WILL. Our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook at Focus580. Simply from the matter of where you're located, do you think that your two colleges have maybe a different approaches, or you know, are looking at different needs to fulfill? I'm just thinking Parkland is in a town where there's already this gigantic four-year university. That's not quite the case with Danville Area Community College, so of course there's a big university nearby. At the same time, Danville is has certainly gone through stages of being a big industrial town, which had a lot of industrial jobs. Now it's lost a lot of those industrial jobs, and is trying to figure out how to rebuild. And I'm just wondering how those two situations affect the programs that you offer at your respective colleges.
Well, I can just tell you that at Danville Area Community College, we pay close attention to what our community needs. And you mentioned that manufacturing may not be as critical to Danville as it has been in the past, but absolutely it is. There are many jobs in advanced manufacturing. It's a different kind of manufacturing, and so we are working very hard to have the facilities and the equipment and attract students to manufacturing. Healthcare is another really important employer in our community, and that's an area that we've been expanding gradually over the last 15 years so that we have more opportunities for students to study in healthcare programs. We also have cooperative agreements with Parkland so that our students, when we don't have a program, can actually study at Parkland. But yes, we do pay attention to what the community needs.
Now, your school, Danville Area Community College, I understand, actually started as an affiliate of the University of Illinois. Is that the right word?
We were an extension site. To serve veterans returning from World War II.
And so we're going back to the 1940s then. And then I understand you were located at one of the high schools?
We were on the top floor of Danville High School for 20 years, and the founding president was Miss Mary Miller, who was a faculty member at District 118 High School, And then facilities at VA, Veterans Administration facilities, became available. And the community formed a foundation and raised almost $1 million to move, literally move the college to our current site.
Okay. Over the years, you're certainly not an extension site now. You're your own institution. Have you, but have those beginnings affected the relationship you have with the university today? How do you work with the U of I today?
Well, we're certainly grateful that we are so close to the University of Illinois, and we have just signed something that Parkland has had for several years. We've just entered into a DACC Pathways to Illinois, and I just checked, and we have 35 students who have initiated that paperwork and are on the path to transferring to the University of Illinois. But we've benefited from the relationship with the U of I being so close in just so many ways through the years. We've been able to take advantage of training. We've been able to participate in grants. So it's certainly been very beneficial for DACC.
And I gather then, Tom, Parkland has been doing that sort of thing also for several years.
Yeah, about half of our student population at any given time are in those technical, professional, vocational programs. And I like to think about it as the people who keep cities, towns, businesses running, from the healthcare sector to manufacturing to retail and everything in between. But again, half of our population have an intent to transfer on to a university. Of course, that the most attractive destination is the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. But certainly Eastern Illinois and Illinois State University are attractive destinations as well. And I think more and more students are paying attention to the value that's afforded by community colleges. You can start at Parkland or Danville Area Community Colleges for a very, very reasonable rate. You're guaranteed that your courses will transfer to one of those state universities for sure, and probably outside of the state or across the country. You're guaranteed that those credit hours are accepted as part of the packages for a freshman and sophomore at any university. So it makes a whole lot of economic sense to start at a local community college where you have, you know, one faculty member to 20 students, person who's dedicated to the teaching profession, and provide a seamless transition to the university of choice.
I'm wondering there, as far as transferring programs, transferring credit from the college to the university, is that the case, you know, in all the programs you offer? Will they all be transferable to all the programs at the U of I, or does the student have to be careful and check first just to make mm-hmm. sure that everything's going to work?
Right. You need to check first, for sure, because there are differences between certain majors. Architecture might require something different than psychology, which requires something different than engineering. But our faculty, our counselors, by virtue of proximity and need, because so many of our students transfer, have very good relationships with their counterparts at the university. So we look on a what seems like a semesterly basis to make sure the curriculum is still aligned, that our students are getting the right advice, depending on which major they choose. Unfortunately, students change their major on occasion, and that causes some change in the way credit hours are accepted at any university. So we have to be mindful of that and keep students educated and aware that decisions they make could affect the way they transfer.
Let's go ahead and take a call now. And line four, I hope I have this written out right. Jeff from Potamia, good morning. You're on Focus.
Yes, I am from, but I live in Geneva, but I'm on a road right now.
Okay.
I'm in the trades. A lot of my education and background was in forestry and natural resources, and there's no jobs for that. I mean, basically when it comes to anything that has to do with the environment, unless you're in environmental resources or something, you know, which is more paperwork than anything else, you don't get that. Well, I'm in the trades, and I was wondering, you know, I have been in the trades for numerous years, like 30 years, and what I have seen, there's no technical schools up here anyway, and I think it's a good job. I don't see anybody teaching the kids practical sense, and I don't know, maybe, it's a good job. I mean, it's well, you know, it could be really rewarding. I don't want to say I'm a handyman, but I basically used to build houses, but I've done every aspect. I've been project managers, and I think a lot of this can be tied in. my problem is, I guess there's no uniformity. If there is a technical school, it's all electrical, it's all plumbing. It's not the whole source of how you build a house or how you do commercial buildings from the ground up. And it's not just building and taking a nail and a, you know, screwdriver or something. I'm talking about even the math behind design work of it, the architectural stuff and the engineering aspect.
Well, I think, Jeff, I think Alice Jacobs here is practically chomping at the bit to answer your questions. So Alice, what do community colleges offer in terms of those sort of vocational technical skills?
We may not be called a technical college, but we certainly, about half of our students are pursuing a degree that leads to employment. So we have many programs that will give people technical skills so that they can be employed. And in addition to that, we have partnerships with all of our high schools, and about 450 high school students are literally bused to the DACC campus to pursue the beginning coursework in our various occupational programs. And I noticed the other day that when the bus pulled up, half the students that got off the bus went to our technology building. We are adding on to our technology building through a $3 million planned gift from Julius W. Hagler II, so that we will have an addition to that technology building. So technical education is alive and well at Danville Area Community College.
And I'm wondering to what degree, maybe this is a good time for you to jump in, that you work with employers to find out exactly what they need and can use from you.
Every single one of our technical programs have an advisory council, and that's made up of human resources directors, people who employ students in a given sector. They meet regularly with our faculty to review the curriculum to make sure that what we're teaching is still applicable for the sorts of candidates that they're interested in hiring and the work that they're doing for whichever employer. Jeff, you'll be happy to know that Parkland has had a long relationship with the trade unions in their apprenticeship programs. We provide the credit that leads toward a degree or certificate for almost every single trade union that's represented in central, greater Illinois. And we have a Construction Education Alliance Center on our campus that was built in conjunction with the trades, where they have the ability to use that facility as part of their apprenticeship programs. We teach classes in there that are part of their apprenticeship program. And you're correct, it's a great living. It's a fantastic route for a student who has that technical mind. And those students are getting harder and harder to identify because those programs are gone in the high schools. Like Alice mentioned, we're the destination of choice for anybody who wants to do that sort of work.
This sort of vocational education used to be in the high schools.
Correct.
You're saying,
mm-hmm.
it's gone away because, do we know why? Is it just a money thing, or do they just see that as not the thing they do?
Back when I was in high school in the Chicago area, I thought I wanted to be a gunsmith. I thought I wanted to make guns for a living. So my junior and senior year, I was got on a bus for the last half of my class and went to an area vocational center. And they had a wonderful, wonderful facility filled with all the latest technology, machine tool operations that got me toward where I was interested in going. That place no longer exists. The cost to run a center like that is enormous. The equipment updates, the software updates, the changing technology is enormously expensive. Those facilities have moved to the community college, probably across the country, certainly in Illinois. So we're the new vocational centers for the new destination of choice for high school students who aren't necessarily interested in going into a university-based curriculum, but want to have that training that leads immediately to employability in a short period of time, a year, 2 years. But what we're seeing is more often students are choosing to use 2+2 options. Southern Illinois University, Eastern Illinois University all have programs that allow a student to finish a bachelor's degree in an area that generally wasn't considered a transfer area. Automotive technology is a great example. Southern has a fantastic bachelor's completion program for students who go through what was once a terminal 2-year degree. And they can make a bachelor's degree out of that. They can go on and earn a master's degree on their own timeline. So 2 years, they can get employed, get a great job, decide to continue on their education, get that bachelor's degree, and move whatever direction they want.
It's time for a short break. We will be back in a moment with more with the presidents of Parkland College and Danville Area Community College. This is Focus on WYLL. We're back on Focus on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows, and we're talking about community colleges, their role in Illinois higher education, and the challenges they face. I have two community college presidents with me today, Tom Ramage of Parkland College and Alice Jacobs of Danville Area Community College. And I have just been handed bar graphs by Alice Jacobs, and those things don't necessarily translate on the radio, except the trajectory here of credit student enrollment and credit hours and certificate and degree completions is just pretty obviously on the up, and especially for credit hours and degree completions, a sharp rise about the time that the recession hit. Just a lot of people went back to school, and apparently a lot of them went back to school at Danville Area Community College as an example.
Yes, you're right. And I said earlier, I'm very proud of the way our faculty and staff responded to the interest that was shown in attending DACC.
Well, we welcome you with your questions and your comments, your community college experiences even. Give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WYLL. Email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Focus 580. I know, Alice, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, and I think, well, actually, both of your colleges do work with veterans in particular, but was it your school that was involved with a relatively new program for veterans, the Get Skills to Work program that the governor announced last month?
Well, certainly Danville Area Community College is interested in being involved in that. We are certainly already doing many of the aspects of what that program will provide in terms of giving credit to veterans who have been in the military for their military work, and so that it shortens their time at Danville Area Community College. And yes, we plan to be involved, but that's such a new initiative. We are not yet involved, but we have been serving veterans, as we said earlier, since 1946 when the college was established.
Mm-hmm. And similar work is going on at Parkland as
right.
well, Tom?
Right, very similar. We have a good veterans population at Parkland that is well served by a veteran center that's relatively new on our campus. But we've had that military-friendly designation for a number of years. One of the things that probably is worth mentioning is the fact that the veterans that come, especially in the Illinois National Guard or Illinois military scholarships, have their tuition waived in higher education, both at the university and community college level. And that comes out of our budget, actually. There's no state reimbursement for that. So we're absorbing, at least at Parkland, almost $700,000 in tuition reimbursement or tuition waivers for Illinois veterans every year.
If you're a veteran at either of your schools, is there a place, an office to go to, a particular
yes.
person to check in with for mm-hmm. assistance?
It's part of our financial aid office. We have a veterans coordinator, a veteran services coordinator, and also have a student group represented by veterans of all branches.
And how about at Danville?
Absolutely. In our financial aid office, there's a veterans coordinator, and Danville Area Community College also has received the military-friendly designation for the last several years.
Okay. I know that last year, the Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon released a big report on community colleges. She apparently visited all of them, so I assume that both of you have probably met the Lieutenant Governor. One of the things her report talks about was a desire to increase the level of completion rates among students. And the numbers in her report said that going from enrollees of first-time full-time students in fall of 2007, that slightly fewer than one in five of them statewide in community colleges actually graduated in 2 years' time. I'm wondering, is that typical of your two schools? Is it something because of circumstances that can be expected, or is it something that you think can be worked on?
Well, Danville Area Community College is an Achieving the Dream college, and we're one of six community colleges in Illinois that are participating in, it's a national initiative transformation to do just that. put in place systems so that more students are earning certificates and degrees. But I would say that when you're looking at a first-time, full-time cohort, you're really not looking at all of the students in a community college. The majority of our students are part-time, for example. That doesn't capture all of the training that we're doing for business and industry. So that's really one measure. It also doesn't take into account the fact that community college students typically move in and move out of education. They have family responsibilities. So it's just sometimes not possible for them to continue full-time in school for 2 years. But we are certainly working on that. And as you can see from the bar graph that I handed you, we're being successful in encouraging more students to earn certificates and degrees.
How are things at Parkland?
I totally agree with everything Alice said. I think it's a misleading statistic. It may work fine for a university. You talk about the University of Illinois at an 85% graduation rate within 4 years, or Northwestern at 95%. But it's terribly misleading to use a graduation rate at a community college because of our mission. We know exactly how to fix that number. We can move that number up to 75%, 80% very, very easily. We shut off our open door access. Mm-hmm. We selectively admit students. We don't do that today, but if we want to affect those graduation rates, there's those little tweaks that we can do to instantly do that. But that's not our history. That's not our mission. That's not why we were created. We have hundreds of thousands of people in this community who have gone through Parkland College for a number of reasons. We have a surgeon at Christie Clinic who's a graduate of Parkland College. We have a lawyer who's taken 3 or 4 credit hours of classes at Parkland for continuing education reasons. That person's a failure based on those statistics because they didn't earn a degree or a certificate by virtue of their time at Parkland College. But they came in, they got what they needed in 3 or 4 credit hours. And, you know, you think about all the people who need computer skills, come in and learn how to use the newest version of Windows or Office Package. Well, they're coming in for a course or a couple of courses, not a degree, not a certificate. So the institution has served them very, very well, yet we mark them down as a failure when we report to the state or the federal government because they didn't complete their degree. We teach 6,000 firefighters across the state of Illinois in half a credit hour to 1 credit hour increments to make them safer in terms of what they do on a daily basis, fighting fires. They'll never earn a degree or a certificate. So we've got 6,000 students on our books that are failures. I don't think that's necessarily the measure we should be using for community colleges.
Okay. We have a caller now on line 1, Linda in Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I had friends that retired from teaching at the University of Illinois. They took Chris Birdie's pottery course. It was the joy of their lives. I have some of the things that they made. I love your art gallery and its programs, and I'm headed for your reception this evening.
Excellent, excellent.
So it's a lot of education, but it's also a different kind of education for some of us, and it's just wonderful.
I have a Chris Birdie coffee mug on my desk.
Good.
He's a talented artist, and his wife is a fantastic artist in her own right. So maybe we'll see you there tonight at the art gallery opening.
Yes, you certainly will. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Linda. And that, I guess, looks at another aspect of community college. This is, this is not for professional skills. Maybe a degree. I don't know how far you can go in pottery at Parkland.
Oh, you can earn a degree, most definitely.
Okay, so that's quite a possibility.
But, you know, that's another fine example of the conversation we were just having. There's this community is very interested in art, and Don Lake is a fine example, a watercolor artist, nationally renowned. Folks, people like Judy Eikenberry would come and take classes with Don Lake, and the same class over and over and over because it was such an enjoyable experience. But again, did not earn a degree or a certificate, therefore a failure.
Mm-hmm. I'm being prompted by producer. Cooking classes? You both do cooking classes? And is this aimed at professional work or just aimed at being able to do more stuff in the kitchen?
Well, Dan Valeri Community College has a culinary arts program, which is relatively new. And we have classes for high school students and also for adults. And then we have cooking classes through our corporate and community education offerings.
Okay, so it's so on both levels, essentially.
All three levels, really. College, okay. High school, adults, for a certificate, and then also just for enjoyment.
Okay, for both for fun, but also for a career.
Exactly. Same situation at Parkland.
Okay. Let me, another caller coming in on line two. David from Champaign, good morning. You're on Focus.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering how you facilitate the teachers who come in with new ideas. Do you have a facilitator? Do you go out and proselytize the community for areas that you think might be of interest? I'm thinking of the Veteran Affairs thing and perhaps the training of dogs or something like that, or concrete. Not all the people that are in these fields think that they can teach, but once you get them in there, they can teach very well. How do you go about picking up new people with new ideas?
And how do you decide, I guess, what courses to offer if you want to go into new areas? How do you do that?
Yeah, there are some rules imposed, good rules imposed on us by the state of Illinois in terms of how we start a new degree program. In a technical area, we have to show some employability on the back end. So if we were to create a certificate or a degree program where there are no jobs for our graduates in the immediate area or in Illinois, that's not likely to fly. It's not likely to be approved. So we do a good amount of due diligence prior to submitting a degree to the state of Illinois and the Board of Higher Education for approval to make sure that there is need, that we can staff it, that we can afford it, and that there are an appropriate number of faculty with the right credentials to help us teach those programs. Now, having said that, there are certain areas that are a bit on the edge. Perhaps new, maybe an area that we don't have a lot of experience in. And I imagine both of our institutions use our business and training functions to test those programs. For example, we've got a pharmacy tech program and a couple other health-related programs that we're offering in a non-credit manner through our business training area to test that community interest. So if there's sufficient enrollment and it moves along like we think it should, we'll roll it into a degree or a certificate program and make it a fully accredited option.
David, thank you very much for calling us. We still have some time for your questions for the president, Tom Ramage of Parkland College and Alice Jacobs of Danville Area Community College. Here today on Focus, we're at 1-800-222-9455. 1-800-222-WILL. Our email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. Tom, I wanted to make sure that we talked about, a career field that is new to Parkland, not new to the area. And that's the aviation program, was with the University of Illinois for some time, and now is going to be part of Parkland.
That's correct. We'll be beginning our first class in the fall of 2013 calendar year at the Institute. We're moving along in terms of logistics, identifying faculty and staff, figuring out our contracts for things like maintenance and fuel and so forth. Just finishing up our last agreement with a company called Riverside Research to help us manage the flight operations out there. So very much looking forward to that opportunity and very, very thankful to the University of Illinois, certainly President Easter and Chancellor Weitz in particular, who without their direct involvement and support, this would not have happened. We couldn't ask for a better relationship with the University of Illinois in getting to the point where we are now.
Did Parkland have any sort of aviation-related classes up until this point?
We had taught ground school, the precursor to private pilot training, for decades on our campus. I think we were involved a little bit in the maintenance program some number of years ago. But beyond that, we have absolutely no experience in an aviation program, which is why we've brought Riverside Research on. They're a large defense contractor. Well, they're an independent research entity across the United States. Most of their contracts are with the Department of Defense and the Air Force. And it turns out that their local presence happens to be a current retired Air Force pilot and colonel. And their local interests are in unmanned aerial vehicles for ag purposes. So you might know them as drones, but these are small, light, unmanned aircraft that have a variety of sensors on them that basically are used to fly over ag fields to determine application of chemicals, yield, all kinds of things that are interesting to the ag community. Those all require pilots on the back end, at least after a certain size and a certain altitude, licensed pilots. So they have an interest in promoting research, perhaps working with Monsanto and other organizations that have an interest in this area, and certainly our faculty who have been actually flying these very, very small vehicles over our own ag plots.
That sounds like something interesting that's going to be even more interesting in the years to come.
Most definitely.
Alice, in the terms of course creation, I understand you work with employers to some extent in doing that at your college.
Yes, we do. Just as Parkland does, we have advisory committees for all of our occupational programs. We are also engaged in delivering customized and contracted training to our employers, and that is how we maintain contact with them and know what programs we need to add. We've just implemented a new mechatronics curriculum, which is advanced manufacturing, and secured almost $500,000 grant to help with equipment and a faculty member. And that speaks to the job opportunities that are in our college district.
Does this make, by working with the employers, does that make it easier for the graduates to actually find jobs when they get out of the program?
Yes, because many of those students will have an internship while they are studying at Danville Area Community College.
Okay, so you know that, you know, something that came to mind, and it may not be exactly comparable, but I remember being in Danville with one of our stations, Community Conversations, and talking with some business people there. And that was a popular complaint of being able to find trained personnel on whether they should shoulder the cost of doing it themselves or are they just trying to find the job pool that had these people. Now, I don't know if everything compares if you're working with a relatively small shop or a specialized or a specialized set of skill sets that may not quite compare to the sort of issues that your school is dealing with. But if they haven't talked with you already, should they do so?
Absolutely. And we served 55 employers last year with customized and contracted training. So we are certainly interested in serving more.
Okay. Well, let's take another call from line one, Louise in Champaign.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was a founding faculty member at Parkland College, and I came from the university sector, and I had to learn all about community college philosophy. And one of the things that just attracted me so deeply was the fact that community colleges talk about students first, student-centered curricula. And the idea is that the student is at the heart of the operation. The professor is there to help that student. And that wasn't always the case in university circles. Now it is, but it was fairly new 60 years ago, I can tell you. The other thing I wanted to say a little bit about is community relations that I think people don't always understand. You've heard from someone who had taken art courses and specifically pottery courses and so forth. Parkland has had I think since the founding in 67, a community band, and it is literally a community operation. I have a daughter who is now in her mid-50s, and she plays the flute and other wind instruments. When she was 12, she had the great honor of playing the obbligato for the Stars and Stripes Forever on the piccolo at a July 4th celebration with the community band, and literally the man who sat next to her was in his late 60s. And that's an example of the kind of extraordinary community relations that a community college strives for and accomplishes so often. I have the pleasure of knowing President Ramage slightly. I don't know the Danville president, but I just want to say that they do a spectacular job, and I hope they're appreciated for all they do.
You're very kind, Louise. It's good to hear from you.
Nice to hear. Take care.
Louise, thank you very much for your call. And I'm wondering if that's one difference between community colleges and universities. Universities will draw their students, well, really from all over the world, certainly all over the country, even if they're serving in-state students first. But community college is really you're drawing students from your district, and that's a different feel from a university in terms of the folks who are there and how they interact.
I think that's perhaps changing a little bit as well. In our experience here, about a quarter of our students every semester come from out of district, mostly the Chicago area. And I think that has a lot to do with, obviously, the proximity of the university. But we're seeing far more international students than perhaps we had in the early days. There's well over 300 students on our campus from, say, 60 different countries.
Are those students did they come here to go to Parkland?
Well, it's a mix. It's very interesting. We do very little advertising in terms of international students. So let's say half of the international students have some relationship to the university, whether it's family, faculty, a brother or a sister. But a significant component and growing component of that international population comes directly from the country from word of mouth. China and South Korea are very good examples that I meet with the students on a regular basis, and I say, why did you pick Parkland? Well, my neighbor, my friend, my counselor at my high school knew somebody who had attended Parkland in the past and said it was a good place to go. There's a path toward a bachelor's degree at a great university right next door, and here they come.
We're out of time, I'm sorry to say, but really wanted to thank both of you for taking the time to speak with us today about community colleges. Tom Ramage of Parkland College in Champaign and Alice Jacobs of Danville Area Community College in Danville. I'm Jim Meadows. This is Focus on WYLL.